So two things happened to me while I was preparing with these readings this week. One, that the readings kind of disturbed me and I couldn't figure out why. And I will, I'll break that open for you a little later. The other thing is that I could not, for the life of me, get out of my head, what's love got to do with it? So Tina Turner, I'm dancing around my living room, I'm trying to write this sermon, and I keep thinking about Tina Turner, what's love got to do with it? Love is a very intimidating subject, and it's hard to sum up and get right. I love on many levels. I love my husband, I love my friends, I love my family. I love French food and chocolate and grapes. This is a confession. I love reality TV and the Golden Girls. I love my church, I love my faith, I love my vocation, I love my God. So, in light of this reading, are all these things equal? Do any of these things even matter in light of John's writing? As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I give you these commandments so that you may love one another. More disturbing for me to unravel was not the use of the word love, which appears over and over in both the epistle and the gospel, but the word commandment. One of those words that has been used out of biblical context to control and direct, and that's not actually what it was meant to be. I will come back to this, but first I want to talk to you about how I see love in these readings. Love for me is not an emotion, it's an action. That love action which is supposed to drive us in our faith, it's not about what makes us feel comfortable and warm and fuzzy. It's quite the opposite. It's stepping into areas that make us feel uncomfortable, perhaps even a little uncertain, but at the same time being led. When we allow love to lead us, then our very actions become an act of love. When we see injustice, when we speak up on behalf of those who are down and out, sometimes the power of being led by love is overwhelming, and we can become paralyzed by the fear of where that will lead us. Remember last week when Kevin mentioned that the opposite of love is not hate, but fear. The love action requires us to put aside fear and trust in that power. That action will always endure. I've told you this before, but it bears repeating. I myself was led by love to this point in my life, and at the same times, many times, been paralyzed by fear. Everything I do in my ministry is way out of my comfort zone. I'm sure many of you heard the fear in my voice when I proclaim a gospel. Most of you can't see the terror on my face when I make that journey back up to the pulpit, which I consider to be equal to the electric chair or the hangman's noose. Back in my musician days, it was only ever possible for me to play an organ postlude because I had convinced myself that nobody in the church was listening. For 19 years, I sat in my little perch at the back of the church and nobody noticed me, and I believed that nobody heard a thing that I played. And that's a long time to convince yourself. I will tell a little story here. I took a sabbatical year around year 15, and I went to Winnipeg, and I studied with a lovely organ teacher there who was kind enough and had such great faith in me that she asked me to fill in for her while she was on holidays in the summer. So she was at a United Church that had a lovely tracker organ in the front, but absolutely nothing in front of it except bare space. So everybody could see your back, your hands, your feet, your stops, everything you did. What she didn't tell me is that they had trained the congregation to sit for the postlude, but not to react to it at all. So I played my very first postlude thinking that everybody was gone, again convincing myself no one was listening. I swung around on the bench and I saw a sea of people staring at me. So you can imagine the next week I had a complete breakdown. But I understand that love leads us to these places. It's love that led me here, which allowed me to put aside my fear and follow the Spirit. Despite all these fears and misgivings, I love what I do. Stepping out of your comfort zone can be very rewarding. Sometimes it's not even fear, but a feeling of being overwhelmed by so much to do in this love. There are times when I look at my schedule and I say, ugh, do I have to do that again? And so often, that which I have to do turns out to be the most rewarding and love-filled experience of my day. When I even walk around the garden here, up and down the streets, I fear making eye contact with people. But then I realize the eye contact is the beginning of that love movement. Who knows, maybe even when I finish this sermon, I will be feeling relaxed and loved. So now the commandment part, the uncomfortable part. I could not for the life of me understand why these readings were bothering me so much. And then I realized that the commandment part has been invariably used over the centuries to control, rather than its true meaning, which is to direct. The use of this word to control can lead to some very serious damage to an individual. That, I believe, is never what God intended. If we are working out of love, then it's pretty straightforward to follow the commandment to love one another and to love God. But if the commandment is used without love, in other words, with the intention to direct towards treating one another with compassion and kindness, then it is misused. If a group of people, for example, a religious group, uses this commandment method without love, the results can be devastating. I hesitate to tell you this story, and I spoke to Alistair about it yesterday before I put it in here. But one of the reasons I'm going to tell you is because this kind of action still exists today, and I think it's important that we hear this. In 1985, when I was starting my second year of college in Grand Prairie, I had just turned 20 years old, I gotten involved with a church, a very charismatic Catholic community, very fundamentalist in nature, very controlling in their actions. While I thought I was doing a really good job of remaining in the closet, apparently a group of people felt that I wasn't. And so I was invited to a meeting in the rectory basement. I found out later was to be an intervention by about 18 people who were going to make sure that they prayed the gay out of me. And this reading kept popping up over and over again. I give you a new commandment. I give you a new commandment. All I heard for almost an hour was commandment, command, I command, I command. And I thought to myself, what is going on here? But unfortunately for me, I let them lead me. The results were devastating. I remained in the closet for another 5 years. I got involved in trying to be straight, and I almost ruined another person's life because of it. The use of the word commandment over and over again, the damage was unrecognizable. The commandment of love that we are being asked to follow in this scripture means that we must meet people where they are, try to understand who they are, and offer support to help them through troubled times. It is not our responsibility to change people. It is our responsibility to act justly, to show true, all-encompassing love of Jesus Christ to those who are lost, afraid, unsure, or alone. When we walk by and try not to make eye contact with people, then we are running away from the challenge that God has placed in front of us. If I can't trust God's judgment in the path that I've been set on, then whose can I trust? So I guess the answer to that song, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Love has everything to do with it. Amen.